service this morning. Number one, you need to change your focus. Here's the things we just learned at the walls. We all have faced obstacles that won't move, as Chris exhorted us today. But we got to get our eyes off the wall and eyes off ourselves and our eyes on Jesus. Number two, we're going to grow in our faith knowing that the walls have already come down in God's agenda. And so the victory shout of praise happens before the miracle. That's when true praise really takes place. Number three, obedience for the win, even when it doesn't make sense. And God says, just keep on keeping on. I'm working where you can't see. And number four, process is God's idea. Real success has no shortcuts. Number five this morning, the power of praise. Father, I just thank you for this powerful principle that this house was founded on. Lord, as you spoke to Christine and I so many years ago, that you would build a house of praise in Cornwall, Ontario. Lord, it has happened. It is here. We really experience it every week. But Lord, we want to be reminded today, and maybe for those that are new or watching an online church that haven't experienced, they've been in a service and seen and experienced the just people rejoicing, but didn't understand why. Today, Lord, I pray that we would up our game, and Lord, we would understand the power, Holy Spirit power, that happens when we worship and praise you. Today, in your name we ask. And everyone said, amen. Joshua chapter 6, and so we're at the wall, and the people shouted when the priest blew. This is the culmination of the story. And it happened that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, when they heard the sound of Karen on the keyboard, they heard the sound of Frank plucking the bass, doing such a great job preaching the word last week and plucking the bass this week. They heard the sound of the instruments. They heard the sound of Ryan beating the drums with professional fashion and manner. They heard the sound of the instrument, the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell flat. That word flat is interesting. It actually went into the ground. It kind of disappeared. Say disappeared. I like it when obstacles disappear. Don't have to climb over them. They disappear. Then the people went out into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The children of Israel had been in process marching around the walls once on Monday, once on Tuesday, once on Wednesday, once on Thursday, once on Friday, once on Saturday, Sunday morning. Everybody came together. They got up early. They went around the wall together seven times. And on the seventh time, this passage of scripture right here in the culmination. There was a group of Levitical priests that were involved in the procession of these worshipers and the people that came together corporately as God called them to be around the city. And I'd like to just take a moment before we go back to the wall and the shout of praise, which we're going to do at the end of our service together here, and just give you some groundwork to understand what's happening and how the Bible calls us to do this. You might have a background that's a little quieter when it comes to church, and that's okay. But I want to show you that the Bible says church is not a quiet place. Church is a very energetic and very loud place. This is going to be easy this morning. I love it. If you just have kind of maybe some predispositions, like it's a little loud in here. Yeah. And actually it could get a little louder. It's okay. As we're going to see in the Bible today, it's not the volume. It's when there's no inhibition.
Yeah. Praise God.
The Bible says to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, all your strength. And it's like, yeah. Something happens. I always say it's like, have you ever had that dream where you're running from the boogeyman or whatever's scary in your life and it's in your subconscious, you're having a dream about it, and you're running away and you're trying to make a sound and you're going, help. Help. Everybody had that dream? You gotta have that, help. And then all of a sudden you go, help, and you wake yourself up. Praise is kind of like that. It's like giving yourself so much to the shout of victory that you wake yourself up to the realities in God and see that God, that the enemy that's chasing you is nothing compared to the God who is for you and not against you. And when you give voice to that, proper voice to that, something takes place. Well, so these Levites had been assigned in the procession. They've been assigned because they were of the 12 tribes of Israel. One tribe was to the priesthood to carry out the sacred duties of the tabernacle. The only people who could actually go into the temple, into the very presence of God, were the priests. And only the high priest could go in on a once a year called the Day of Atonement. And he would take the blood of a lamb and he would place it on the mercy seat. And the Ark of the Covenant, if you've ever watched the old movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, they were after it. And that's exactly what the Ark of the Covenant looked like. And the lid, that's a box, and the staffs to carry that box. And there's a lid, and it was cast in one piece of gold, the lid with the two cherubim that you see looking down at the lid. There was one, but there was three. There was three, but it was one. It was one, but it was three. And the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God and yet three personalities. And it's a mystery we don't understand, but in the Ark of the Covenant that held the presence of God being made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The two cherubim representing God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Looking down at what would have been in that box was the law that stated that men were sinners and we deserve death. And any man that would come into the presence of God, that God, looking at his perfect and holy law, a description of God himself, that man could never fulfill, the high priest would take the blood of a lamb and he would place it on the mercy seat symbolizing Jesus, because the New Testament said that Jesus is our mercy seat. Jesus himself, the mercy seat, God the Father, God the Son, the high priest placing the blood on the Day of Atonement. And sins would be covered for a year until the following year, but not taken away. But a lamb would come. When Jesus was born in a manger, and the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And when understand the Ark of the Covenant and the high priestly duty to go into the presence of God, something happened when Jesus began his ministry. On the day he was water baptized, it was announced from heaven, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart. Say ripped. It doesn't mean Jesus was working out ripped. It means the heavens were ripped. It's a violent tearing. The word in the Greek is only found a couple times in the Bible, two that I'm going to show you, and it's a violent ripping. And so we sang this morning, "Oh, open the heavens and come down." Well, that was Isaiah the prophet, and that was his cry because he knew the heavens had been shut. And until Jesus came and began his ministry, communication between heaven and earth had been sealed. God had not spoken through a prophet, through the word, nothing for 400 years until his Son came. And the heavens, God saying, "Rip the heavens open because I want to start hanging out with mankind. I want there to be presence of God on the earth. We're about to kick it to another notch and change things on the planet because of my Son Jesus." And then Jesus went to the cross and he died, and Hebrews tells us that he himself went into the heavenly pattern and he took his own blood and he put it on him. It was on himself, the mercy seat, and presented it to the Father. It says that when he died on the cross, at that moment, Father was waiting for the moment. Holy Spirit was waiting for the moment. The law was fulfilled. There had been a death of all deaths to cover sin. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary that divided God's presence from planet Earth, the curtain of the where only one man, one priest, only one priest could go and be in the presence of God once a year to cover sin. Now, Jesus took care of it once and for all. And that division was torn from the top to the bottom because heavenly hands grabbed hold of it and said, same word, "I'm ripping open. We are going to commune with man." Emmanuel, God with us. The rock shook. The earth shook. The rock split apart because creation had been groaning, waiting for the manifestation of God's salvation plan. And you are living stones. You're in God's building, his spiritual temple. We together, when we gather on Sunday morning, We form the temple of God in a very unique way. Now, we are living stones when we're individuals and in our families and at work, and all that is true. But something corporately happens when we come together on Sunday and we form his spiritual temple. What's more than his presence being with us, what's more, you are priests, holy priests, because you were made holy by his blood. And everybody gets to go into his presence. Everybody, say everybody. Everybody who's received the blood of Jesus in their life to wash away their sins. You are now a priest. Say, I'm a priest. Some of you with some background are choking on that one. I can't be a priest. Say it with some unction. I'm a priest. You're a priest. Through the mediation of Jesus. You offer spiritual sacrifices that please make God happy. And so we still offer sacrifices, not animals, but as priests, we don't come to the temple empty-handed. We come with a job to do when we come corporately because we're priests and it pleases God through Jesus. Therefore, here's what it is. Here's what we offer. Let us offer to God a sacrifice of that doesn't mean, I've heard it preach, I don't really feel like it this morning, so I'm just going to offer up the sacrifice of praise. I'm going to sacrifice it to you, oh God. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that. It's a sacrifice. That's your priestly duty to bring it, whether we feel like it or not. The sacrifice isn't, oh, I guess I will. No, the sacrifice is the act of worshiping God. It is a priestly duty. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips that openly profess his name. That means you can hear it. Say, hear it. It's heard. The lifting of our hands, the clapping, singing, shouting, speaking, oh, and even jumping and dancing and bowing. And when a priest comes into his presence, we enter his presence, the Bible says. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him. Come before him. Enter his presence. Remember, the heavens are open. The veil's already torn. We're not waiting for anything. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Remember, at Harvest, we want you to know God. And the number one place that we believe that an unchurched person meets God for the first time is in the praises of God's people, where God's presence is. I think it's the most powerful evangelistic tool there is on planet Earth. You don't have to tell them about God. You just go, he's right there. I don't know what that was in the room, but it made me cry. His name is Jesus. It's powerful. So we can know, we know God. It is God who made us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So there is a prescribed way as priests to come into presence. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. We're not coming to an austere God, a mean God, a far-off God. We're coming to a God who is waiting for us, can't wait for us to come corporately together because we're holy priests. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I worship with my grandboys today. It's pretty cool. All generations. But you are holy, you who inhabit the praises of Israel. Our faith needs to understand when we come to the house of God, God's here waiting for us. Are we waiting to worship and praise him with the praise that is worthy his name? Let's go back to the walls and understand there's power in this. As Joshua rose early in the morning, did you know our worship team is here? I know my wife leaves the house at 7:30. Karen's here, and I know Ryan to get some tech stuff. They're before 7 in the morning, so some of us are still sleeping, and they're here. Some of our priest musicians are here early in the morning. And the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Now, what's interesting in this scripture, it's actually not talking about Sunday morning. It's talking about Monday morning. As we read it, and I don't have time this morning, this was Monday morning. Say Monday morning. And so Joshua got up early as a priest on Monday morning to get ready for day 7. You get ready for what's happening in this room, not on the way to church. You get ready if we're really going to experience what God has for us. According to the power of praise at the walls, we get ready on Monday. And we're a people who get up early on Monday morning and begin to do our personal time with the Lord, which in my life, it includes worship and praise. I put my AirPods on because I get up first, and I don't get my praise on loud. I get it on in here, and because others are sleeping. But I exalt the name of the Lord. I begin to enact my priestly duty. Joshua got up early in the morning, and the priest took up the presence, the ark, took up. Remember the staffs in the picture? They would put it on their shoulder. Say shoulder. Priests have a responsibility to shoulder the presence of God. Now, some of you will get this, some of you won't, but I'm going to throw it out there. There are many people praying for a move of the Holy Spirit. He's on your shoulders. If the church won't move the presence of God by being a worshiping people, Holy Spirit's not moving. Two people got that. Many people are praying for the Holy Spirit to move today on the earth. God gave that job to the church. We're not in the upper room anymore. That happened. Pentecost has already happened. We are living in the fulfillment of the days when the Holy Spirit is in his church. And if we will shoulder, be priests, understand presence and the power of praise, and we get under and shoulder this responsibility, have temple will travel. I will take Jesus into the workplace today. I will take him into school today. I'm a worshiping priest. I shoulder. I know that he's with me. I know his power is with me. God's moving on the earth because as a part of his church, he's moving because we are priests who move the Holy Spirit. All right, some of you will come back to that. Might be a new thought. I thought Holy Spirit did what he wanted to. Yeah, he wants to be on your shoulders. Our worship service begins Monday morning. And the Levites carried the Ark of God with poles on their shoulders as Moses commanded in accordance with the word of God. As worshiping priests, it is our responsibility to carry God's presence on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And it just gets good coming together on Sunday, living stones, a priesthood all gathered. And on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city seven times. And when the trumpets sounded, worship team, if you can come up, when the trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and the shout of the trumpet, at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So everyone is to participate if you know Jesus. Well, Pastor, it's not really my personality to kind of get excited like that. Right, you're born again and you have a new personality. You're not an old, the Bible says there was an old creation, now you're a new creation, and you've been created to be a priest to praise loud. And the Holy Spirit will help you with that as you will shoulder, will up on my shoulder. We come to church on Sunday carrying his presence all week. When we come into the house of God, we're ready to lift our hands, to clap, to sing, to shout, to speak, to dance. Because when they got to day seven, you better believe they shouted all together, and that wall, as we read, came down. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud. That word is the shabak. It's the Hebrew word shabak. It's the Jericho shout to the rock of our salvation. A voice of victory before the victory. A voice of praise before the miracle takes place. A voice that says, I will praise now like I will then. And I will keep praising now, and I'll continue to praise until then, and I'll keep praising. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. My favorite verse, I have lots, but here's one of them. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. At Harvest, we want to make our praise and worship time, our seventh-day gathering corporately, glorious. A lot of attention goes into it. We have glorious singers and glorious musicians. There are people that can sing, and we have auditions for our worship team because, you sing as loud as you want in your car. And if you'll notice, they don't let me sing into a microphone, though I kind of can do it. But if I did it in a worship service, it would be very distracting. You would wonder where the cat was that somebody's swinging by their tail. And so we don't, it points to Jesus. These beautiful voices, these beautiful musicians. Others of you who will, in the days to come, audition and bring your gifting to the Lord. But this isn't worship up here. This is just the sound of the trumpet. This is just the sound. Without everybody that participates, we don't have the shout of God. We just got a trumpet player or a drum player or a bass player. I'm going to show you a YouTube clip. So just hold it. I'll say go before you play it. I want to show you a YouTube clip of some young adults in a worship service in Arizona. And this is a kind of cool church. And rather than teed up, just if we can already hit the stage lights so we can really see it and the volume so we can really hear it. And it's just like a minute clip. And then I just want to talk about it. Just watch this. So Aaron got it, a few other people got it, there's something just powerful about it, right? But here's what I want to point out. Years ago, as Christina and I were coming into a revelation of praise and worship, we didn't grow up with one. We grew up that Sunday morning was a little bit more, you know, calm and reserved Sunday morning. And then Sunday night we would go and there would be instruments and we would clap, but your feet did not move. Your feet did not move. You stayed still. You kind of moved your upper, but we sang a lot about God. We didn't sing to God. There wasn't a personal connection. There wasn't a revelation of the God being in the praises of his people and giving ourselves wholeheartedly to praise and worship. We were in Toronto this was back in the late 80s, and a part of something called Canada Arise. And our good friends that have been here, John and Jan Finocchio, were some of the founding musicians of a Canadian-wide move in worship. And it wasn't that it wasn't happening before that. It was, but it was only in crazy fringe churches this was happening. So they brought it into the forefront and had conferences that literally every year were growing. And so I remember one, there was 2,000 people. We were Islington Evangel Center or one of the big churches. And as we would go, we would wait. We couldn't wait to get to these conferences. But I remember the first one that I saw people jumping like this. I mean, everybody. Or everybody raising their hand. And here's what I realized. It felt like, to me, suction. And like you couldn't help but enter in. And I remember watching going, wow, they're really into it. And I go, I just got to close my eyes right now. Now I'm going to peek. And I started giggling and laughing. And I remember just going, woohoo! And I went out in the aisle. And I started to jump the best way. And something just, and it's never stopped. Just giving yourself to praise, the expression of praise, which is what happened at Jericho's walls. And they experienced power. I believe we experience power here each and every week. People are getting saved and God's touching people. But I think it could come up a notch or two or 10 as we all participate. And maybe this is new for you. And this morning, we're going to sing this last song and then we're going to pray and be dismissed. But as we do this, if you've kind of been a half mask hand raiser, put them all the way out. Stretch them out today. If you've never just kind of stepped in the aisle and give a little jump, try it. You'll like it. But what I'd like you to experience as we do this, when everybody, say everybody, at the level of uncomfortability, not the level you're comfortable with, the level you're uncomfortable with, just right there, stretch a little bit, something happens that opens our veiled eyes, our veiled hearts, to see him and know him more. Are you willing to give it a try? How many are willing to give it a try? All right, stand to your feet and let's give this a try.
Praise in the valley, praise on the mountain, praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm doubting, praise when I'm numbered, praise when surrounded, cause praise is the water, my enemies drowning, and as long as I'm breathing, cause praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul.
You're getting it now. Hey, listen. I know what we said about I'm not allowed to sing, but I got this. I'm going to lead this. Let's do it. Ready? Just bring me in.
Praise because you're faithful.
Praise because you're true. Praise because there's nobody greater than.
I praise cause you're sovereign.
I praise cause you reign.
I praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful.
Hey, hey,
praise cause you're true.
Hey, hey, so
praise cause there's nobody greater than you.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I won't be quiet. My God.
I told you, right? Signs and wonders following the preaching of God's word. Ah, Jesus, we love you so much. It is our privilege to make your praise glorious. Ah, Jesus. If you're here today and you didn't know about being a priest and coming into God's presence, today you see most of us in the room would understand that. Today we also here at Harvest want that every man, woman, and child who doesn't know Jesus to make a decision to invite his blood, the sacrifice of Calvary, onto your life. Let him mercy seat you today so that when God looks at the law, he doesn't see you as a lawbreaker. He sees you as a blood-washed son and daughter. But without Jesus' blood on your life, that can't take place. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here in this room and you've never invited Jesus into your life, I'd invite you to pray this prayer. We're going to pray it corporately. Online, you can pray this with us. Let's all pray this together. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you that you love me. Today, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Thank you that you went to the cross for me. I receive it now. I receive eternal life. I'm a priest. I'm coming in your presence. Thank you, Jesus, today. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you can take your notes that you got today and check off, I made a decision for salvation today. Give it to one of our host team. We'd love to give you a Bible. Would you just be seated today? We have a couple announcements before we go.
Really quick, we just want to mention that this Friday is our Dream Team Appreciation Party. So if you are on our Dream Team, we cannot wait to be with you, gather with you. So you'll have all the information in your email. Next Sunday is Heart for the House Sunday, which is going to be an incredible day. And we are celebrating with 12 people being water baptized next Sunday morning. It's going to be an absolute party. But that is all for now. We love you so much, Harvest. You are amazing. Have an awesome, awesome week. We love you.